podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This podcast is brought to you in part by our friends at Charlie Hustle Clothing Company. Charlie Hustle is a vintage-inspired clothing company based out of Kansas City that specializes in collegiate and hometown apparel. Charlie Hustle wants you to be the best-dressed fan this season, so be sure to check out their wide selection of officially licensed collegiate apparel today and show off your school spirit all season long. With over 30 schools to choose from, they've got you covered with all your collegiate apparel needs. Shop today at www.charliehustle.com. Charlie Hustle, vintage made fresh. This podcast is brought to you in part by Modern Appalachian Kitchen. A small, local Morgantown business is giving WVU fans and Morgantown something to talk about. This local candy kitchen is home to the marshmallow couch. That's right. Now you can relive the infamous WVU winning celebration with a couch that you can eat instead of catching on fire in the middle of the street. Order your marshmallow couch and other sweet treats at modernappalachiankitchen.com. We are part of the 1012 Patreon. Please be a part of our 1012 Patreon where you can get behind the scenes information, show participation, and other things. It is www.patreon.com/1012network. Thanks everyone for listening and supporting the Raspy Voice Kids.
This is Jordan Leslie and you're listening to the Raspy Voice Kids.
This is Jeremy Nicholas Phoenix, JN Fiend, for those who know, from the Raspy Voice Kids. We only have one half of us today. I also hate Pitt. Brandon Phoenix can't be here with us. But we do have a special guest, two of them, in fact. Straight off his big-time bowl win against North Carolina in the Duke Mayo Bowl, we have our defensive coordinator, Jordan Leslie, and his wonderful wife, Ann Catherine. We appreciate you so much for coming on and being on the show, buddy.
Thanks for having us, man.
I meant to throw in that last chance you. TV star, superstar, rock star, last chance yeah. You. I love it so much. Now, here's the thing. We've watched you all year. We've seen you at West Virginia. Me and my brother, we're big fans. We like what you're doing with the defense. Going down and shutting North Carolina down like you did, 10 points. That game was won on defense and special teams. I think a few coaches said it out loud. It almost feels like, I know it wasn't the biggest bowl game ever, but it feels like you should be going to Disney World afterwards. That's how Mountaineer Nation feels. It's so good to get to 9 wins. We just appreciate what you've done, Jordan.
Yeah, we appreciate Mountaineer Nation, and they made a huge difference in that game. And if you go back and you watch just a number of plays, whether it's the punt return with Beanie or Tyron's interception, like when those plays happened, that sounded like a home game.
They really did.
And that made all the difference in the world. And it is, it's exciting. It's, I think it's been a really long road to get to this point. And we've been through a lot of things to get to this point. And I think we've turned a corner here to where, everything is looking forward and looking up. And it's taken a lot of work and a long time, to get here. And it hasn't been easy. And I think any of our coaches will tell you that. And so it's exciting, man. It really does. It really is.
How do we continue that? Like this year we're losing Copa, we're losing Burks. How do we replace them? Do you have somebody on the team that you look at like, hey, this is the next guy up? This is the guy who can be that man in 2024 for West Virginia on defense?
Well, I think when you look ahead and number one, I think everybody got a glimpse of the job that AJ Jackson has done with the defense front and the depth that room has. And The young players, you got to remember now. Tommy Wadurjaye has 3 years left. Sonny Redwood has 3 years left. A young man named Corey McIntyre, who is a legacy of West Virginia, has 4 years left. And then you go behind that, and you look at a guy like Ben Cutter, who probably forced into a situation before he was ready when Trey Lathan got hurt. But that playing experience that now he has as a starter, he's got three more years at least. You know, you look at a guy that was in the spring and was really making some noise. That will be a significant player for us. Jeremiah Trotter, who will be coming off his injury. He'll be healthy and ready to go. Trey Lathan will be back off his injury. And then in the secondary, you know, I think in Coach Brown's been really open. That's where we have to go and get some pieces. But the ones we already have added, we think are significant players. And you just, you know, you continue it by trusting the process of how we got to 9 wins, which is our evaluation of the person and the player. And being a fit at West Virginia is key. And the type of kids that are going to be successful there. You go back through the years with some of the most successful teams, and, you know, a lot of those guys, man, are guys that were, you know, they weren't just, you know, that was way before a lot of the rankings and ratings that recruits have now. Some of the best players, they weren't those guys. They were guys that played the game the way that West Virginia faithful want them to play the game, and they're guys that are tough, blue collar, physical, and they're people that know they have to work to achieve, you know, the common goal everybody has, which is championship level football. So you just trust your evaluation and you keep it going, and when you do that, you look at our D-line room, which was when we got here the first, that's kind of where we started, and now you look at all, you see the fruits of that labor with what you're seeing on the field, especially Wednesday night. And I think you'll start to see that linebacker, secondary, front to back as the seasons continue to go.
Oh, absolutely. It's so funny that you mentioned all these freshmen and these young kids who have a lot of time left to develop. I want to call them hidden gems. You know, you get the star ratings, and, you know, there's certain big-time teams who get all the big-time stars. But then you get down to the three stars, which most of the time when I see three stars, it's like they don't really know. They haven't seen the kid enough. And yet West Virginia has done a really good job finding these kids and developing them. What is it that you look for when you see a kid who's like a three star? Like what are the intangibles that jump off the screen that you're saying, hey, I don't care who's recruiting him. I need to go get this kid because he's highly underrated or he could be something.
Well, the first thing is how they play. You know, we defensively, we live by three words: effort, aggression, and toughness. And those are the three big evaluating. Those are the three biggest intangibles when we evaluate a prospect. And do they play hard? You know, do they play aggressive? And which is that? And I say aggressive because I think that takes care of it. If you're an aggressive person, you're probably a physical person on the football field. And is he tough? How does he handle hard things? And so I think that's, you know, for me, that's the biggest, you know, maybe they're not the six, you know, not all of them are going to look like Sean Martin, you know? So yeah. If they don't, when they don't, what is the elite intangible that they have somewhere else? Maybe it's a physical trait. Maybe it's a mentality, a mental trait. But, you know, I mean, and it can be anything from, you know, do they play multiple sports? If they do, they're probably competitive. How do they handle themselves on the sidelines when, you know, if they're a defensive guy and their offense turns the ball over? How did they react to that? You know, there's all kinds of things that tell you the competitive nature of a kid. I'll give you a real example. I think one of the hidden gems on our team in the last really 2 years is Eddie Mestreta. And Eddie was a guy who played 1 year of club football in Finland. But in Finland, you have to serve mandatory 1 year of military service. So he graduated high school, served in the Finnish military, and then played club ball, essentially. And he only had, I think, 5 or 6 games of video. Well, the video looked pretty good, but a lot of times you don't really know what you're watching because there's, you know, there's what level of ball or American football are we playing over there? So you kind of take it with a grain of salt. Well, we were actually going to take Eddie going into the COVID year, and we held off till January of 21. And really, you know, our personnel department really wasn't sure, is this a guy you really want to take a chance on? I said, well, all right. I said, I'll convince y'all by the time we get to January. So I told Eddie, I said, look, I want you to send me videos of your workouts every single week. And here are a couple of things I'd like you to do. And, you know, we'll get you over here. We'll work on some. So anyway, twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays, from September to the middle of December, to signing day, Eddie sent me two videos a week. And I don't know if anybody looks at where Finland is on a map and how damn cold it is there. But that kid worked out outside doing D-line drills. He actually walked. Now, Eddie, if anybody's ever stood next to him, he's about my height, 6'3"-ish, about 285 pounds. He was about 270 pounds at the time. One of his last videos he sent me was he walked on his hands for 10 yards. And I don't know if anybody understands how hard that is to do. But when you watch Eddie play, you just look at the strength, the core strength of his body. Because he don't have, he's not 6'5". He don't have an 85-inch wingspan. He's not 290 to 300 pounds. He doesn't run 4.5. You know, he doesn't have just the elite intangibles that an NFL prospect has.
Yeah.
But how he plays, and I mean, if you watch him, especially Wednesday night, like I told the coaches on the headset, after the third, he didn't have a lot of stats. And a lot of time that guy doesn't get credit for the play, but he made the play. And I don't know how many of those Eddie had. I haven't watched the coach's copy of the film yet. I'm just kind of in relaxation mode. But he dominates. And he dominates off of effort. And nobody plays harder, I don't think, in the Big 12, honestly, than Eddie V. And those are the guys, and you're going to surround them with some Sean Martins and some Trotters and some Trey Lathans and some Aubrey Burks, people like that. You're going to surround them with some really talented guys. But you need a few of those guys in every single signing class that is just a – blue collar, like tough, you know, gonna claw and scratch for everything that he gets and every play that he makes. And then that makes you better. That makes the attitude of your whole group better. And so we search those guys out defensively. You know, we look for those guys to have that. And that was a hard recruiting process. You know, you're dealing with FaceTime and phone. It's not like I'm putting about a week.
Yeah. You broke up a little bit there at the end. My bad if I'm cutting you off. You broke up a little bit there at the end, but we got what you're saying about Eddie, and we love that EAT, effort, aggression, and toughness. That's what you look for, and that's the kind of kid that we want to develop, and we're so glad that we have him here. Coach, we know times are changing. We know recruiting is changing. How have you evolved where it feels like there's less time spent in high schools and more time spent talking to these transfer portal guys? How have you evolved as a coach with all this newness?
Well, I mean, I think the evolution of it, I think everybody, you know, everybody has a different approach, you know, and you go back to when people are coaches that are my age and older, you know, let's just say 40s and older, you know, you grew up in a environment of loyalty and you didn't have the options that you have now. And, you know, you signed a scholarship and you essentially, no matter where that was, become a fan of that school. Once you graduated from there, the the logo that you wore around meant something to you. So I'll be honest, you know, for a couple of years, the first when this all first started happening, I really struggled with it, and a lot of guys do. But I think at the end of the day, like there's such a difference in that part of not only college athletics but high school athletics. It goes all the way down into high school. It's just not the case anymore a lot of times. And if you find it, great. But if you don't, there's no reason to get upset. You just move on, and you understand that there's roster management piece to college football now. And you just, hey, not, you know, and I think what you're seeing more than anything a lot of times is you try to be, I probably recruit a little bit different than a lot of people. I'm always very, very honest and upfront, and I don't get into probably the salesman side of it, because I think a lot of times what you see now is they find out that college football is not the recruiting process. And so it always doesn't seem, when you get to a place, maybe it doesn't seem like what it did when you're being recruited. I think that some of it was from the kid side of it. And so you just try to be, you know, you embrace it. And, you know, you understand that the recruit process really is almost a 365 day a year process, and you just, you know, we got to live with it and move on. It's kind of like being voted last. You can complain about it and, you know, whine about it, but it really didn't do anybody any good. So you might as well move on and do something about it. So, well, you know, I really just embrace it. I still do the bulk of my recruiting in high school. I think that you know, that's going to be the core of your team. You know, we're really smart with how we do it, and the kind of the percentage of the mixture that we like to go with. And, you know, and it, even in the old system, you're not going to keep 100% of your high school kids anyway. You know, that's just part of it. So again, like I used to really get upset, and you always preach this loyalty piece, and, you know, I don't think it's necessarily the kids being unloyal. I just think that they sometimes the situation is better, and I root for every kid to be successful no matter where they go. And if the place and the people somewhere else help them do that, well, you know what? And that's better for them, then that's probably better for everybody. Because I always just, I tell our guys this, like, you can't coach people that don't want to be there. You can't, that's, you know, square peg in a round hole. So that's, you know, that's really my take on it. It doesn't bother me anymore. It's just, it is what it is. And you understand that's part of the process. And you lose one, now you know what you got to go get. So, you know, then, and there's another side of it, the whole NIL side of it. It's not what it's meant to do, but I mean, it is what it is in this environment we live in. So you embrace it and go on.
That's what you got to do. You got to change with the times. Speaking of the NIL, what's the impact of Ren Baker in the Country Roads Trust on your program?
Man, I think it's done a phenomenal job. Just again, it's embracing what the environment is, and not complaining and whining about it, and it's just, you know, the thing I like about Ren that he's done is just from day one he put his feet in the ground and went to work and done a phenomenal job. It's made a huge difference for us, for the athletic program, for university. You know, I think he's done phenomenal.
Absolutely. I had a chance to meet Ren one time, and the guy just, I mean, he just felt right. I'm not the expert on it. All I know is just talking to him, his level-headedness, he feels like the right guy to lead our program. And obviously him, you, the Country Roads Trust, Neil Brown are doing big things for our program, which we couldn't appreciate more. With all this being said, obviously you've been a football fan probably your whole life. I know with recruiting, with you know, getting ready for games, do you ever just get time to be a fan? to appreciate the games. Like, is there a college football game or a bowl matchup that you're like, you know what? No, I'm going to sit down because I got to watch these two teams.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if there's ball on, we're watching ball. The one thing Ann Catherine is really, really adamant. Our children go to bed earlier than I ever did growing up in my life. Like she has those kids in bed about it's 7:30. It's past their bedtime. So good for them. They get a ton of rest and they're ready for school and everything. But good for me because, you know, there's a lot of night games on and I get to sit there and watch a lot of ball. But yeah, you get time, you know, and even when we travel, you know, if we play a night game, you're always going to sit in the hotel room, get rest and watch the noon game, watch the, usually the 2:30 game is about to cut off, but it depends on what time you kick off. But, or you play the noon game on the road, and we watch a lot of the games on the plane rides home. NFL games, I don't get to watch a lot of NFL games because we're usually working on Sundays, so I see the highlights. And then in the cafeteria there in the Coast Guard Center, we always keep the games on. But, I love this time of year, man, and this week especially is, you know, the bowl mania is just, you know, from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. is just bowl. And, you know, especially after your bowl game where it's really – you're taking a breath from coaching and your players and worried about your game to just – sit on the couch, you know, cook something, and watch ball. And so
you'll have to tell him that you're one of his dreams is to have a motorhome when he retires.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah
and
yeah.
Travel to away games. We don't know what team, but
well, yeah. One of my retirement plans is I want to grab one of the motorhomes like it's out in the blue lot and just go tailgate.
Oh, I love it.
That's one of the things I'm gonna do because I've never enjoyed a tailgate, and so of course she thinks I'm gonna work till I'm 70. She's bad wrong on that, but I'm gonna retire quick enough to just go to some of the coolest venues, which West Virginia will be one of them. But I'm gonna go to some of the coolest venues to tailgate and just. Just be a fan, man, and just enjoy it. I've always said this. You know, West Virginia is one of the, from the outside looking in before that I worked here, you know, like I was always a big fan because, you know, when I was a player was the Orange Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl, just kind of watching at that time, that underdog mentality and just kind of paying attention. Cause that's always been just a college football junkie. And if, like I said, if ball was on, I was watching it as a player, as a coach, as a high school player too. I just thought it was one of the coolest places. And it just represented everything college football is about, the passion of the fan base, the game day atmosphere, you know, and that's one thing in recruiting. We always say, like, hey, if we get somebody here, if we get no matter where they're from, we always have a chance because of Mountaineer Nation and just game day. It's just it epitomizes college football, and it's great. It's awesome to be a part of.
Absolutely. I'll agree 100%. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to enjoy the fruits of my labor while they were still ripe. I went on a little college football, I don't know what you call it, little tour. And within a couple years, I was able to go to USC Notre Dame. I actually met Jason Sehorn. He was walking across the street, and I'm like, yo,
okay.
I need to know where I'm parked. And he started talking, and I'm like, and you're Jason Sehorn, who was my favorite player growing up. I was able to go to LSU, Alabama, down there in Tuscaloosa, Fournette's freshman year. Penn State, I went up to Happy Valley for the whiteout. Penn State, Ohio State, when Marcus Allen blocked the field goal, which was absolutely nuts. Been to the Big House, the horseshoe. What's the one place like Morgantown? And I've always said this: Morgantown stacks up against most places, 99% of them. Maybe Happy Valley and the horseshoe are in their own. But I've been to a 100,000 seat stadium in South Carolina when they played Auburn, and I'm telling you, Morgantown gets just as loud and is rocking just as much. So Morgantown is really second to none with most stadiums. But if you had to say, hey, you know what? You need to go check out this stadium that is not Morgantown, which one would you say, hey, you need to go check out this tailgating in this stadium because I heard it's amazing?
Yeah, you know, I think that you know, a West Virginia game, you know, I'll give you two examples. Obviously, the end of the Pitt game this year, actually the entire game. That is as good of an atmosphere as I've ever been in as a coach and a player. And then in 2021, when we knocked that fourth down ball down against Virginia Tech on a noon game down, like that was a noon kick, and that place was rocking. And you go back and watch that fourth down play Virginia Tech had, and we knocked that pass down, that's as loud as anywhere I've ever been. And I've been coach and player to LSU. You know, LSU is you walk in that place and it's a, you know, it's a cathedral of college football. It's you know, it's and it can be, there's a player after the year after they won a national title, when Coach Saban was still the coach, we actually had a chance to beat them, and we were down in the student section end zone trying to go in to score to go up 24-20, I think was what we were trying to do. That noise right there, that's noise you can feel. Like it shakes, you know. I mean, it but I tell you one thing that is through outside of Mountaineer Field. If you've never been to the Iron Bowl, and it doesn't matter where it's at, if it's at Auburn or Alabama, that is something that if you're a college football fan that you need to do.
Okay.
That, you know, and I actually think, and I'm sure I'll piss some people off here, but I actually think Auburn Stadium's probably a little louder than Alabama's. Because it's kind of how it's built, but it's a, when they fly that eagle off the top of that stadium in that game, I've only been to it once. It's pretty unique. You know, I think I've never been to the Swamp, but I've always heard about it. I've been to Oregon Stadium. You know, on a decibel meter, Oregon Stadium is actually the loudest in college football, and it only holds like 55. And I think they have about a 10 to 15 foot wall, and it kind of how that thing's built kind of helps that. But I would say one thing you need to do is try to go to an Iron Bowl, Alabama.
All right, I'll circle it. I'll definitely circle it. I heard Death Valley was amazing. I was unimpressed with Tuscaloosa. They seemed a little spoiled. It seemed like they knew they were going to win, so they weren't as loud. But you know what? I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your insight. We're going to bring Ann Catherine in. Ann Catherine, can I say, is that what people call you, Ann Catherine? They say both names, or they call you Miss Leslie?
Yes. Ann Catherine.
All right. Here's my question to both of you guys. Now, I have two questions, and then we're going to finish it up with not pop culture, but the rapid fire that we do. And I've split it up 5 questions for you, 5 questions for him. But before we do that, the first thing is, what have you enjoyed the most about being at West Virginia? I'm asking you both, either one.
I mean, it's the people. I think you know, it's the thing that makes coaching college football, you know, really cool is when you have a combination of place and people that West Virginia has. I don't mind cold weather. That's never bothered me. I'm actually really hot natured, so I enjoy cold weather. But I love I love the mountains. I love the area. And then the people. You know, we have two neighbors that have essentially become our, because my wife's from Western Kentucky. I'm from Mississippi. We're away from families a lot. They've essentially become our kids' grandparents, and the friendships that we've made,
people that love the university and love athletics. What we mean by people is just the people that have become our family. They love the university, and when we came to the university, essentially we felt like we were family.
I think the first time for me was we go in 2019. We knew going in we probably weren't going to be very good, and we go down to Baylor. Baylor at the time had Coach Rule, and we play them down to a field goal. They had to block a field goal to beat us on a Thursday night ESPN game. And we really kind of, for that season, kind of turned the corners. Like, hey, we can be a little better than people thought. And we come home, and I think we're like 3-5. But we come home the next week, and because of that game and how those kids played, like, we sell out the stadium the next week. We're like 3-5. And I was like, that's the first time I was like, what a fan base, what support. And again, here we are at 9 wins. And I go back and think about the things that we've been through in our fan base, like Wednesday night, like how they showed up, that is second to nobody. And, being able to go out into the community and have those relationships and I don't think anybody on our staff is, but we're not people who stay in our own home and worry about the magnitude of being in the position. I love getting out, and I love going to Kroger. I love going, I was at Sam's yesterday, and people say, hey, good game. Like, I love that. Like, we embrace that. And of course, she's probably a little more social than I am. I'm always thinking about the next game or the next, like, I'm walking through Sam's thinking about recruiting, and she just will stop and talk to, the AT&T guy that asked you if you want to buy a new phone. Well, she'll end up talking about football with him, and I'm just kind of like, hey, let's move on here.
But honestly, that's what we mean about the people, because they have, everyone really has, not everyone, we have had the majority that have embraced us and loved us, and that's how it became home, because of that family feeling, and that truly means a lot to us and to our family. when we are away from our immediate family, so we've just felt such pride in it being our home now, and that we're surrounded by so many wonderful people that truly want the best for the team and for the university and for our family.
We love that, and we're glad that you can feel the love, because that's what a lot of people say. They say when you come to Morgantown, it's different. You can feel that family environment. Now, coming off the Duke Mayo Bowl, I said, feels like you should go to Disney. Obviously, that's not the real option. But I will say, here's my question. If somebody were going to give you two tickets, which I am not, so don't get your hopes up. I'm just saying if somebody were going to give you two tickets to go see anybody in concert, front row, dead or alive, who would be your opener and who would be your headliner? And Catherine, you can go first.
Without a doubt, Whitney Houston.
Ooh, good one.
The Temptations would open for her. But she might open for the Temptations because I want her to sing the national anthem. The 1991 Super Bowl national anthem.
That is a great, great, great answer. One I've never heard before. Temptations open for Whitney, except for Whitney sings the national anthem to begin with. Yeah, no, that's a great answer. Jordan, you got an answer for me?
Oh yeah, I'm a traditional, a big traditional music guy. And I'm a big blues guy. So the first one, I'll just give you Dead and Alive. How about that? Or no. Mine are both gone. So headliner, and openers. I would want to go watch B.B. King.
Ooh, okay, okay.
And opening for B.B. King would be Jimi Hendrix.
That would be live. These are some good answers. I like that you thought about this. These are some good answers. My answer is always, and I'm very specific, it would be Queen would open for late 80s Michael Jackson.
Oh, nice.
That's my, and it has to be late That's 80s Michael good. Jackson. Can't get into early 90s. No, late 80s Michael Jackson. Queen is the opener. Well, we appreciate.
I almost went with Jackson 5. Almost went with Jackson 5, and then I turned to Temptations. We were close there.
No, sorry to cut you off. Every time I hear Jackson 5, I think of my mom. My mom, if she's cleaning in the house, it's Anita Baker in Jackson 5. If you hear Anita Baker in Jackson 5, cleaning is going down in the Phoenix household.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so now we're going to wrap it up with rapid fire. Five questions, got to come straight from the top of the dome. Give me your honest answers. Five questions each. Who wants to go first?
Let her go first.
No, you go first.
All right. I'll go first.
All right. You ready, Jordan? Excuse me, Coach Leslie. I've been being disrespectful. Coach Leslie. Coach Leslie, first question. What is the best Pop-Tart?
Chocolate.
Swill Dogs West Virginia Golden Bourbon or the Truss Lager?
Bourbon.
Gold Rush, True Blue, or Stripe the Stadium?
State.
Would you rather be a giant hamster or a tiny elephant?
Ooh, a tiny elephant because I still got the memory.
Okay, good answer, good answer. When you met Ann Catherine, your wife, who liked who first?
Oh, that's easy. It's her.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that. Somehow. And Catherine, this the only time we'll let a rebuttal on rapid fire. And Catherine, is that answer correct?
No.
How did it happen? We need to know.
It was love at first sight for him.
Okay. There we go. There we go. We'll leave it at that. We'll talk after we get off air. All right, Ann Catherine, you ready for your five?
Yes.
Pepsi or Coke?
Coke.
Lion King or Toy Story?
Ooh. Lion King.
If a TV show was started called Coaches Wives of Morgantown, who would have to be on it?
Me and Amanda Macy.
There you go. Who has the best French fries?
Oh, Five Guys.
And last but not least, the greatest question of all time. Real honest answer. Alec Manoa answered it. Pat White answered it. All these people have answered realness straight up, and I'll know if you're lying. Do you pee in swimming pools?
No.
There you go. And actually, I believe you. Some people say no, and they're lying. They're lying straight through their teeth. Then you have honest people like Pat White who said yes, and I believe him too, but... Either way, I appreciate you guys coming on, giving me a little bit of your time. I know you guys are busy driving to a wedding, but made some time for RVK. Once again, we couldn't be more proud of you, Jordan. We appreciate everything that you've done for the defense, holding North Carolina 10 points. Let me just say, this is one of the only times that we've won 9 games. If you eliminate the Pat White years and you eliminate Geno Smith in 2011, the last time West Virginia has won 9 games, including their bowl game, is 1983. So we're tipping the cap and keep doing what you're doing and keep hustling and working hard for Mountaineer Nation. We appreciate you guys.
It's been fun. Thank you so
much. We appreciate you guys. Keep up good work and I appreciate the kind words.
Podcast Network.